and the first UFC ever in Wichita, Kansas, and it delivered. What's up, folks? Fred Ricciani, TSC, your home for MMA news, updates, interviews, and everything in between. If you're new here, we'd appreciate you subscribing. Junior Dos Santos was taking on the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, in what turned out to be an action-packed fight, just like we thought, but it ended pretty quickly in round number two, and it was weird, like every Derek Lewis fight. I feel like there's always something weird that happens, right? There's my balls is hot. There's, you know, him being really tired, knocking out Volkov. There's, you know, the quick turnaround against Daniel Cormier. I mean, this guy's had some crazy fights, some great performances. I mean, really, he has. And Junior Dos Santos has been on the winning track lately. And with Derek Lewis, too, if you want to talk about weird fights, I mean, the Ngannou fight was very weird as well, which he ended up winning by decision. You know, knocking out Travis Brown. I mean, he's done a whole lot in a relatively short amount of time in the UFC. But with the win over a former world champion like Junior Dos Santos, whew, that would put him right back in title contention, or I guess more accurately, interim title contention, because that seems to be the trend in UFC. Hey, let's create a belt here. Let's create a belt there. If Daniel Cormier is going to be inactive, oh, let's create a belt. Daniel Cormier trips and falls in the shower. He's going to be out for a week. Create an interim belt. That's what UFC 236 should be called with the two interim titles on the line. UFC 236, interim warfare. Anyway, enough of that. So we had our main event. It was set to go five rounds. Ended up going two rounds. And in the first round, Junior Dos Santos and Derek Lewis landed some bombs. A couple of them grazed JDS. And then JDS hit a spinning kick right into the liver. Look at the liver solar plexus of Derek Lewis. And he grimaced and he bent over. And I'm thinking, okay. Time stood still. He just bent over. He didn't fall to the ground. He bent over. And we're all just waiting. And waiting. I kid you not. Like I'll give you like a real time example. So kick happens, then this. Time stood still. It literally stood still. So then Dos Santos goes at him, and he almost gets Scott Smith and gets hit by Derek Lewis and almost knocked out. But Junior Dos Santos, to his credit, able to circle back, able to circle away, able to do his thing. And we go into round number two. Derek Lewis looked like he was recovered, but still grimacing. JDS working the body. Finally, JDS tagged him. Derek Lewis covered up, kept hitting him. Herb Dean, and with one of his trademark phrases, fight back, fight back. Derek Lewis didn't fight back. They stopped the fight, and JDS now gets his third straight win. And it looked pretty bad for JDS a few years ago, right? I mean, if you remember, he got destroyed by Cain Velasquez and at UFC 166, and this poor guy probably should have had the towel thrown for him. His corner did a disservice to him in the third Cain fight. I mean, just took so much damage. Guy was out for like a year. He beat Stipe Miocic just barely, but took insane amounts of damage, okay? And then he lost to Alistair Overeem. He got knocked out. I believe it was on a UFC on Fox. And from there, it was kind of rough goings. He was out for a little while, beat Ben Rothwell, but it was more of kind of like a workman-like performance and everything. He had a couple really tough fights. I mean, Blagoy Ivanov, who fought on this card, is double tough, and that was not an easy fight. And Tai Tuivasa, that wasn't an easy fight either, although he won that by TKO. So going into this fight, I thought, man, I think Dos Santos on paper could definitely win, but he's going to have to take his licks. And while he did technically take his licks, it was not a bad performance at all. It was actually a great performance by Dos Santos. I mean, he got grazed, he got hit a couple times, but he really didn't take any serious damage, and he got the win in impressive fashion in a big main event on ESPN Plus and the first UFC in Wichita, Kansas. As far as I'm concerned, it was an incredibly successful night for him. Now, after the fight, he wished a very happy birthday to his, I believe, his now 2-year-old son, which was very sweet. He said he wants to be back up at the top of the division. He wants his belt back. He didn't specifically call out Daniel Cormier, which kind of confused me. I thought he would, but hey, man. Came off great, and for anybody that's been following JDS for a long time, you know that he's got that charisma, he's got that charm, and he's one of the nicer guys in MMA, so it's hard to dislike the dude, unless you're a big Derek Lewis fan. And Derek Lewis, very popular in Wichita, and unfortunately he got the loss here, and that one of these guys had to lose, because I think they're both really marketable and likable, but hey, that's how it goes in MMA. I don't know if JDS is going to fight Cormier next, because As Dana White said at the UFC 235 press conference, and I think he's probably said that in other media interviews, it's most likely Brock Lesnar next. It's only a matter of when. And hey, Brock could wake up tomorrow and say, I feel like getting $6 million a year for wrestling as opposed to fighting Daniel Cormier, getting punched in the face. Then again, UFC's got enough money now with the ESPN deal and with the recent sale and all that crap that they could pay Brock Lesnar $10 million. And they could probably make that money back if they did the DC fight or a fight with Jon Jones. Who knows? But at the moment, that's up in the air. And you got to believe until WrestleMania wraps up in early April that Brock Lesnar is committed to WWE, at least the next 4 to 6 weeks. We also had Elizu Zaleski Dos Santos, no relation to JDS to the best of my knowledge, defeating top prospect Curtis Millender, defeating him for the first time in 9 fights. Millender had won 9 straight fights. Hot prospect. He got dominated here and lost via rear naked choke in round 1. Had a tap out. I mean, just a great performance by Dos Santos. Both Dos Santoses had a great performance tonight. Nico Price in a hell of a fight. Knocked out Tim Means in round 1, 450 of round 1. He hit Tim Means so hard that dude rolled his ankle. It kind of almost like popped. It was kind of very similar to like, I'm trying to think, like probably the most infamous knockout, right? Where it featured like a dude wrecking his ankle or leg or whatever in the process. Mirko Krokop and Gabriel Gonzaga, where Gabriel Gonzaga hits him with that head kick. Mirko just slowly collapses and his leg just gives out. Ugh, it was disgusting, but a huge win for Nico Price in the welterweight division. Blagoy Ivanov, who I mentioned before, defeated Ben Rothwell in somewhat of a controversial decision. This was a pretty good fight, 29-28 across the board. Rothwell, according to the statistics, did have significantly more significant strikes, I should say, in round 2 and in round 3, but Blagoy did outstrike him round 1. It was a close fight. I don't think it was necessarily a robbery or anything, but the crowd clearly did not like it. But a nice bounce-back win for Ivanov, who, former top Bellator heavyweight prospect, was a guy who at one point nearly died because he got stabbed, right? He got stabbed, and I believe they stabbed him right near the freaking heart. He survived that, came back, did his thing in other organizations, came to the UFC, went toe-to-toe with Junior Dos Santos, and he got a huge win here over Ben Rothwell. So congratulations to Blagoy Ivanov. Benil Dariush, in another awesome fight, defeated Drew Dober via triangle armbar submission in round 2. These guys were tagging each other. Both guys came nearly close to finishing each other, but ultimately it was Dariush that got the win. In a Haas fight, a fight between just two tough-ass middleweights, you had the veteran Tim Bosch, a guy who I feel like if Al Borland of Home Improvement, for anybody that's old enough to remember that series, if Al Borland from Home Improvement became a UFC fighter, it'd be Tim Bosch. That guy's just a man's man. Yeah, I love that guy. And he fought Omari Akhmedov, and Akhmedov now at middleweight, doing his thing. Really good performance, 30-27 across the board. He got the win, but Tim Bosch hung in there tough. But at 38 years old, might be time to hang up the gloves if he's not close to contention. On the prelims, we had Anthony Rocco Martin defeat Sergio Moraes via unanimous decision, 30-27 across the board. Yana Kulitskaya, who once challenged Chris Cyborg for the women's title, defeated Marion Renault via decision, 29-28 across the board. We had Grant Dawson defeat Juliana Rosa via unanimous decision. This was a really good fight, even though it was a bit one-sided. 30-26, 30-27, 29-27. Some weird scores there. We had Maurice Greene defeat Jeff Hughes via split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. Matt Snell defeated Luis Smolka via triangle choke in round 1. We had Alex Moreno defeat Zach Otto via submission. Vicious, vicious elbows. The dude, I mean, I don't blame him for wanting out. And we had Alex White defeat Dan Moret via unanimous decision, 29-28 across the board. So overall, if you're wondering if this was a must-see show, I'd say the last couple of fights were really good. I mean, in terms of ones that really stood out to me, I mean, Dariush versus Dober was awesome. Dos Santos had a dominant performance. Well, both Dos Santos had a dominant performance. The Derek Lewis fight was just weird as hell. Oh, he also got an eye poke, by the way. He got poked in the eye, and then he grabs Herb Dean's shirt and wipes his eye with it. There's only one Derek Lewis. I love that guy. Never change, Derek Lewis. Never change. As far as other fights to watch, I mean, the co-main event, main event aren't too long. Definitely watch those. The Nico Price Tim Means fight was awesome. The Dober Dariush fight was awesome. And Dawson and Erosa had a nice fight as well. So, yeah, overall, a very easy show to watch. Ends at a reasonable time before 11 o'clock Eastern time. I love this ESPN Plus relationship. It just ends when it ends. You don't have to drag it out, which is great. I love it. I wish Bellator kind of learned that. Although, to be fair to Bellator and DAZN, you know, I think they air in the UK on actual real TV. So, you know, I guess the time constraints are a little different. But they got to do something about those Bellator fight lengths on DAZN, because ESPN Plus is wrapping up quick. Now, as for what's next, we have a UFC fight night coming up. Yes, next week on ESPN Plus. It's in London, England at the O2 Arena. Darren Till versus Jorge Masvidal, which on paper should be an action fight. Although, Masvidal is kind of an enigma. There's times where he looks amazing. He looks like a legit contender. And there's other times where his brain just, I don't know, his brain shuts off or he doesn't kick it into gear. I mean, the best example of that, I believe, is his fight with Gilbert Melendez years ago in Strikeforce. I feel like that sums up his career. You know, some fights he looks like a killer. Other fights, it's just like, he looks good, but, you know, that other gear isn't pushed. Leon Edwards versus Gunnar Nelson is the main event, or the co-main event, excuse me. That should be a really good fight. Volkan Ozdemir returns against Dominic Reyes. So, top three matchups look pretty good there. That's going to be airing on ESPN+. And then a week after that, on March 23rd in Nashville, we have another ESPN Plus fight. Jeez, all these ESPN shows, right? Stephen Wonderboy Thompson taking on former lightweight champion Anthony Showtime Pettis, who's moving up to welterweight. That could be one hell of a fight, given both guys' styles. Curtis Blaydes takes on Justin Willis. The rest of the card, really, if I'm being honest with y'all, nothing really to write home about. But the top two fights look interesting, at least. And then we have an actual card in Big ESPN, which is Edson Barboza versus Justin Gaethje, which is an absolute buffet of violence, March 30th, taking place in Philly at the Wells Fargo Center. It's been a while since they've been in Philadelphia. I mean, a long, long time. I mean, I think not since Rashad Evans versus Phil Davis. Rashad Evans versus Tito Ortiz. How we seen a UFC fight in Philadelphia, which is crazy to think about. That was 2011. I actually do think back then, I think Phil Davis was supposed to fight Rashad, and then he got injured and Tito filled in after he knocked out Ryan Bader, or submitted Ryan Bader. Whatever. It's been a long time. Yeah, Philly definitely deserved a UFC fight a long time ago, but man, on paper, they got a great one here in Gaethje versus Barboza. Karolina Kolkiewicz facing Michelle Waterson. That should be one hell of a fight as well. Rest of the card looks all right, but those are the top two fights that you definitely want to look out for. And then after that, right, we get a two-week break. Finally, I'm at a massive two-week break from fights. And we get UFC 236 for the interim ultimate championship of the world. We got Max Holloway, the current UFC featherweight champion, taking on Dustin Poirier in a lightweight title fight. It's an interim title fight, but a lightweight title fight no less, while Khabib Nurmagomedov serves his suspension. I don't know why they made this fight. I don't know why Tony Ferguson ain't in the mix. I don't know why they couldn't just wait to just do something else, right? I mean, just, I don't know. I don't like it. A lot of people criticize Tony Ferguson for not taking an interim title fight. Well, last time I checked, the guy did win the interim title. He got hurt, and nothing came of it, so I can't really blame him, but I'm kind of disappointed in this fight, just because on paper it should be great, but you're holding up the featherweight division. You could possibly hold up the lightweight division. Tony Ferguson's long overdue for a title shot. They also made Jacare versus they made Jacare versus Yoel Romero too later this year, which is just, I think, kind of crazy that Jacare beats Chris Weidman, beats all these guys. Maybe the greatest UFC fighter to ever hold the UFC title, and he still can't get a freaking middleweight title shot. Because the middleweight title shot goes to Kelvin Gastelum and Israel Adesanya, but it's actually an interim title fight at UFC 236, while Jacare has to wait for Yoel Romero, and while Robert Whittaker heals up, because he's had some rough goings these last couple of years. But hey, those two fights, taking away the fake belts, do look pretty awesome. And then after that, we've got a fight night at April 20th, which is Alexander Volkov, who infamously lost to Derek Lewis in the last minute, taking on Alistair Overeem, who at this point is pretty much a legend in the sport. So yeah, overall, I mean, man, we got some crazy, crazy amounts of UFC action. Actually, I'm sorry, later this month, not later this year, Yoel Romero is taking on Jacare April 27th on UFC on ESPN. So at the very least, Jacare is getting a ESPN main event. So that looks interesting. But yeah, but so many to keep up with. I mean, just absolutely nuts. And after that, there's a ESPN Plus show on May 4th. I mean, a lot to keep up with. Listen, as a fight fan, I'm not going to complain about the action. It's been great action, and UFC's put on a lot of great fights, and I really do think that the ESPN and ESPN Plus shows have been incredibly well-produced and paced, so I got to give them props for that. But when it comes to trying to make some more stars, man, when you're running six fights in 6 weeks, it's a little hard to keep up. Just saying. Just saying. But folks, I want to hear from you. What do you think about the state of UFC? What do you think about Junior Dos Santos possibly challenging for the heavyweight title again? Let me know. Leave a comment below. Tweet us. Facebook us. Do what you got to do. If you enjoyed this recap, please like, share, take care. Don't forget to subscribe and enable notifications for more updates like this. And until next time, as always, enjoy the fights.